Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu seeing his condition. He was weeping, he was crying, he just ran to the Ganges to end his life. They jumped in after him, one grabbed his hair, one grabbed his feet, and somehow or other they took the beautiful form of Lord Gauranga and placed him on the bank of the Ganga. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so depressed. He said, "Why did you do that? Why did you take me out of the Ganga?" And Nityananda Prabhu was just trembling in fear. He said, "My Lord, why did you try to take your life?" The Lord said, "Because I have no love for Krishna. What is the use of living? I have no love for Krishna. If I even had one single drop of love for Krishna, I would have died long ago due to separation from Krishna. But the fact that my heart still beats, the fact that there is still breath in my lungs, that means I do not even have one drop of love for Krishna. So why should I live?" That was his heart. That was his feeling. That was his humility. Srila Sanatana Goswami, when he was traveling through Jharikhanda forest, he drank some water and got a horrible disease where there were itching, oozing sores all over his body. He didn't mind the pain, but he considered that he was just such an abominable person. He considered that he had no love for Krishna. He decided within his heart that since my spiritual life is non-existent, since my body is useless to offer any proper service to the Lord, what is the use of this life? He made a plan. "During Ratha Yatra, I will throw this body under the wheels of the chariot of Jagannath, and in the presence of Mahaprabhu and all of his devotees chanting Harinam Sankirtan, I will end this body. And in that situation, maybe in my next birth, something auspicious will come." This was his feeling. The Sambandha Guru of our Sampradaya. Feeling he does not even have a single drop of love for Krishna. How could one think like that when one is in the ecstasy of love? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exhibiting the sattvika bhavas. Sanatana Goswami was on the highest level of Vrindavan Ras. How they feel that they have no love. Even in Goloka Vrindavan, even Srimati Radharani, sometimes she prays with tears in her loves that she has not even a drop of love for Krishna. How is it possible? Because the more we understand the glory of Krishna, the more we realize how much love we should be offering to Krishna, what an unlimited reservoir of loving qualities he has, the more we realize that our love is insignificant. The greatest devotional activities we can do is hardly offering a little tiny candle to the sun. What is the significance? Who are we? What is our love? This is the realization of Krishna. Simultaneous to the realization of the greatness and the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes the realization of our insignificance, our inability to properly reciprocate with His unlimited mercy. And thus the great souls, they pray in this way. Srila Prabhupada says, one who has a relationship with Krishna feels that he has not even a single drop of love of Krishna in his heart. One who has humility is very eager to accept menial service in the spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant. This is a very essential quality of humility. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, when he was in Gaya, he cooked for his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. He personally served his spiritual master. He massaged the feet of his spiritual master. He was eager and happy to be a menial servant. And while in Navadvip, sometimes he would wash the clothes of his devotee. A very low position in Indian society, the clothes washers. What are they called? Dobi? Yes. He was Dobi for his devotees, washing their clothes. He saw one of his devotees carrying something, let me carry it home for you. If he saw them bathing in the Ganges, he would bring tilak for them. He would bring a sitting place for them. Every type of menial service he was eager to render to his devotees. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw King Prataparudra sweeping the street, taking the menial position of the street sweeper, Mahaprabhu's heart melted. He forbade King Prataparudra. He forbade him to come into his association. But when he saw the king was a menial street sweeper, a servant of the Lord and his devotees, his heart melted. And he decided right then and there he would give his complete mercy to King Prataparudra. When King Prataparudra was sweeping the street, he wasn't doing it as a ritualistic show. You see, it is the tradition since the time of Maharaj Prataparudra, and even his father, that part of Rath Yatra is the king comes and sweeps in front of the cart of Jagannath. But please know that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't just see what you're doing with your hands and your feet. He sees the heart. He was looking right into the heart of Maharaj Prataparudra, that he was expressing the actual sense of identity that he had. Although he was big, big king sitting on big, big throne, in his heart of hearts, he always considered himself at all times the most menial servant of the Lord and his devotees. And he wanted to express that before Lord Jagannath by taking the most insignificant, lowly of all services, a street sweeper. Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard, the ultimate aspiration a devotee has is to be the menial servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And Mahaprabhu fulfilled all King Prataparudra's desires. In that garden near the Ayatota of the Gundicha Mandir, Mahaprabhu allowed King Prataparudra to massage him. He embraced him. He bathed him with his tears. He showed him his divine opulences. He praised him. Then he asked King Prataparudra, "You have given me so much nectar. Who are you?" King Prataparudra spoke from the heart. He didn't identify himself as Maharaj Prataparudra, so why should he say that? He said, "I am the menial servant of the servant of your servants. And the only benediction I pray for is I may eternally aspire to be the menial servant of the servant of your servants." Srila Prabhupada explains, when we pray for this honestly, then Krishna will take our prayers actually seriously. That is how we please the Lord. Not by trying to be great, but by trying to be a menial servant of the great. That is greatness in the eyes of God. Rupan Sanatan Goswami, when they were living in Ramkeli, such fabulous wealth, they built a gigantic, opulent assembly hall just to invite Vaishnavas and pundits to come and discuss Srimad Bhagavatams and other types of philosophy. And amongst all the great pundits and scholars, they were foremost. They made such arrangements. They personally, with their wealth, built huts and cottages, very, very nice residences for every one of their guests, and arranged nice prasad. Whatever wealth they had, they understood the only real value of it is how, to what extent we can serve the Vaishnavas. All the rest was simply a burden. Chaitanya Das, the father of Srinivas Acharya, explained to Srinivas one of the most heart-moving experiences of his life. He told how years before, his Guru Maharaj took him to Ramkeli to meet Rupan Sanatan. He said at that time they were Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, chief ministers of the king. Such wealth. He said they were sitting on raised seats. They were both more beautiful than Cupid himself. They had the wealth of Indra, the intelligence of Brihaspati, and so many thousands of people were coming just to be with them and hear from them. But Rupa and Sanatan, they were just eager to hear from the other Vaishnavas. They would sit at the feet of the other Vaishnavas to listen. And even when they were on the asana speaking, if even just an insignificant guest would come, they would get down from their asana, they would come over to them, they would offer their obeisances to them, they would menially serve them by giving them prasad, by giving them accommodation, by giving them gifts. He said, this is an impossible thing to find in this world. People who have so much, but who think themselves so small. It's said that a pauper is even proud of his penny. What to speak of Rupa Sanatan, Dabir Khas, Sakir Malik, what they had, everything. But still, there was not a trace of false pride. Only a desire to humbly serve all others. Jiva Goswami. Prabhupada explains he was the greatest philosopher that ever lived. He already defeated Digvijay pundits. In Varanasi, the high seat of learning in India, for the Mayavads, he was considered the greatest scholar in all of Varanasi. Then he came to Vrindavan. And he became menial servant of Rupa Goswami. He would massage his feet. He would clean his utensils. He would arrange the puja paraphernalia for him. He would go out and pick particular types of palm leaves and prepare them for his Guru Maharaj to write his books on. When his Guru Maharaj would be sitting, he would fan him. Most menial services. At one time when he honestly, for no other reason than trying to defend the integrity of his spiritual master, Rupa Goswami told him that you are full of pride. When that Rupa Narayan was defeated by Jiva Goswami, he had no desire except to protect the dignity of Rupa Sanatan and Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So he defeated him. Rupa Goswami said, why did you argue with that rascal? That means you still have pride. You still want to be victorious. You still have a sense of wanting to be important. In Vrindavan, there is no place for that. Get out. He didn't defend himself. He considered, yes, I'm full of pride. Yes, I'm most fallen. I'm offensive. I'm thinking myself important. And he went to Nandaghat. And there he performed severe austerities to try to atone for his offenses, although he never did anything wrong. But he accepted it. And Rupa Goswami wanted to show the world through his disciple what is real humility. Menial servant. Narottam Das Thakur, when he went to Vrindavan, Lokanath Goswami, he was so humble, he did not want disciples, he wouldn't let people serve him. So Narottam Das Thakur, secretly he would serve him. He was willing to go on doing this for the rest of his life. Early in the morning, he would go to the place where Lokanath Goswami would respond to the calls of nature and clean it very nicely, for his Guru Maharaj would not be inconvenienced. He would sweep the place. He would, with his own hands, clean the stool and urine. And nobody in the entire creation knew that he was doing this. He wasn't advertising. He actually was a menial servant. And one day Lokanath Goswami, so moved by who is the humble person that's doing this, he actually, hours before he usually came, he was hiding in the bushes to see who. And there he saw, very quietly, Narottam in the darkness of the night, picking up his urine and stool, cleaning the area, washing the area. Lokanath Goswami, he was astonished. He began to cry tears. He said, Narottam, you are a prince. You're coming from royalty. You're a great scholar. How could you be doing this? Cleaning the stool and urine with your hands? Why? Narottam Das Thakur spoke. The humility of his heart, with all honesty, that dear Guru Maharaj, I have left all the illusory wealth and prestige of this world to come here to Vrindavan, where I have found the ultimate of all treasures, humble menial service to my spiritual master. Lokanath Goswami said, why are you serving me? Why you want me to be your guru? You already had the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He embraced you. He filled you with his love. Narottam Das Thakur said, I have nothing. I have no love. My only shelter and my only hope is in the dust of your lotus feet. That is humility. Srila Prabhupada exhibited that humility of menial servant. He left the ultimate spiritual kingdom of Vrindavan Dham to come to New York City. When he was living in the Bowery, one person, what was his name? Robert Nelson? One day I was talking to him and he was telling me, this is when before 26 Second Avenue or anything, Prabhupada would just sit in the back of Dr. Mishra's yoga lessons and he would meet people. And that's where he met this Robert Nelson. And he said Prabhupada would want to cook for him. Now, for those of you who know him, with all respect, he's really spaced out. By material qualifications, you really have to be a mystic yogi to see any in him. Just like some of Prabhupada's godbrothers said, when they came to the West, they were trying to preach to the elite in society. Well, I can say that this person is not at all the elite in society. He was, by all standards, materialistically just a failure. Not much intelligence, spaced out, kind of dirty and lazy kind of person. But Srila Prabhupada would personally go out and buy food at the grocery store. He would cook for him. He would serve him prasad. He would clean up after him. And then he would just lay on his left side with him and talk about Krishna. He'd give him Bhagavad Katas. Such a servant. At 26 Second Avenue at the beginning, Srila Prabhupada would do the purchasing. He would do all the cooking. He would do all the serving. And then he would do all the cleaning of the pots, the plates, and the room itself. And nobody even thought. One day, some of the guests stayed a little later, and they happened to see Prabhupada cleaning everything. They asked, "Swamiji, all these weeks we've been coming, you're cleaning all of our dishes and cleaning the floor and cleaning everything for us?" And Prabhupada never said a word. He was quiet. And then this guest said, "Can we help you, Swamiji?" And Prabhupada smiled and said, "I've been waiting for someone to ask that question." He was 70 years old at that time. 71, actually. And these were all people in their 20s. He was simply accepting the role of their menial servant. And that's the only consciousness he ever had. Even when he was sitting on a Vyasasan and giving international instructions for an international movement, he was in the same spirit. He was simply rendering menial service according to the best way to serve his Guru Krishna and all of his disciples in the world according to time, place, and circumstance. Whether he's washing his disciples' plates and whether he's chastising him and telling him an instruction of how to preach. Whether he's sitting on the floor or sitting on Vyasasan. He was simply the menial servant of every living being. That is Vaishnava. That is Acharya. That is Srila Prabhupada. Another quality Srila Prabhupada describes of humility is that one considers oneself the most fallen. One considers oneself insignificant. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya, he went to the house of Sukumbhar Brahmachari. Sriman Pandit told the devotees that Lord Chaitanya wants you all to come there because he wants to reveal the sorrow of his heart. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just weeping, crying, saying, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" At one point, he fell on a pillar and slid down and went unconscious. Then when he came to consciousness, he asked Sukumbhar Brahmachari, "Is there anyone here?" He said, "Your friend Gadadhar Pandit, he is here." Lord Chaitanya went to Gadadhar Pandit with tears flowing like incessant rivers from his eyes. Tears of humility. He said, "Gadadhar, you are so great. Your life is so glorious. From your very birth, you have been worshipping Krishna with your heart and soul. But I am so unfortunate that throughout my life, I simply uselessly wasted my existence in the pursuit of mundane studies. But then, by the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna, he revealed himself to me. I saw his form. But then, due to my previous sinful, bad karmas, the Lord disappeared. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Please tell me, show me, where is Krishna?" He was weeping and crying in separation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that the best and safest method of developing Krishna consciousness is by cultivating feelings of separation. Why? Feelings of being with Krishna in a premature state creates a sense of false pride. That I'm very great, I'm very advanced, I'm seeing Krishna, I'm with Krishna. But actually to feel separation means humility. That because I have no qualification, because I have no love, because I have no spiritual substance, I can't see Krishna. I can't find Krishna. That was the mood of the six Goswamis. He Radhe Brajadeva Kecha Lalite He Nanda Shuno Kutha. Where are you, Radharani? Where are you, Krishna? Are you at Bamsivat? Are you at Govardhan? Are you at Radhakund? Are you at the bank of the Jamuna? Srinivasacharya says, this is how they spent their lives, searching for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada explains, this cultivation of separation cultivates humility. If you're proud, you can't actually feel real separation from Krishna. You have to feel yourself empty. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. This is Mahaprabhu. This is his teaching. That this entire creation is a dreary void, bereft of the vision of Govinda. He is teaching his disciples to cultivate this humility. Haridas Thakur, how he considered himself the most fallen. While living in Fuliagram, Sri Advaita Prabhu honored him as the greatest Brahman by giving him the first honors of the Shraddhapatra. But did he tell anyone that? When someone would call him a low-down malecha, did he say, "Wah! Don't you know? Didn't you read the news? Advaitacharya gave me first Shraddha. He honored me as the greatest Brahmin in all of Nadia." He never said that. He felt ashamed. I don't deserve this. When he went to Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was meeting all the devotees in the Gambira. And Haridas Thakur, he didn't even come in. He was out in the dirt of the road offering his obeisances. And he just laid there. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked, "Where is Haridas?" Someone said, "He's out there. Don't you see him? He's down the road, just laying in the dust." Lord Chaitanya said, "Bring him here." The devotees went and said, "The Lord wants you to come." Haridas said, "I cannot come. How can I come into his room? How can I be with all these great devotees? I'm just the lowly, untouchable, contaminated dog." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out of his Gambira to meet Haridas Thakur. He was so humble, he wouldn't even come before the Lord. The Lord had to come to him. That is the power of humility. It attracts Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself arranged the residential quarters for Haridas Thakur at Siddhabakula. A place where he could peacefully do his bhajan and he could see the chakra atop Jagannath's temple. It is described when the Lord would have utsavs with his devotees. They would all be sitting and having prasad. Haridas Thakur, as well as Rupan Sanatan Goswami, they would never come in to take prasad with the other devotees. They considered themselves too fallen. Lord Chaitanya would call them, "Come in, come in." All the devotees would say, "Come in." They would say, "No, no." They would make excuses. "We've already eaten. We're very fallen. We will just sit outside in the dirt, and whatever remnants comes, we will accept." Then the devotees saw that their humility was so genuine, they accepted that. They would sit outside, and Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with their humility, the whole plate of his remnants, he would tell Govinda, "Give it to Haridas and Rupa Goswami." During the Mahaprakash in Srivas Thakur's house, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described with great ecstasies the glories of Haridas Thakur, and revealed his opulences of Shamsundar to him. He asked Haridas, accept a boon. Please, take a boon. Haridas Thakur, tears flowing from his eyes, folded palms, he prayed, that I'm the most fallen. The worst thing about me is I have a great longing in my heart to be seen as an important person. That is my hypocrisy. That is my sinful condition. Although I'm insignificant, I want people to think that I'm important. If you want to grant me a boon, my Lord, please give me this boon. Let me take my next birth as a dog or an insect in the house of your devotee. Because then I will get the remnants of their Mahaprasad and I will always have their association. In this state of consciousness, my Lord, let me always chant your holy names. The devotees were weeping. This is all they wanted. Let me be an insect or a dog, but let me have the association of your devotees. And let me have the remnants of the food that falls from their mouth. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his room, the day before Haridas left his body, he told the Lord, I'm diseased. I can't finish my rounds. I have one desire. Let this useless body fall down in your presence, chanting your name with your feet upon my heart and my eyes seeing your moon-like face. Lord Chaitanya, he was heartbroken. He said, Haridas, you are my principal associate. You're my life and soul. What will this world be without your association? Haridas Thakur said, my Lord, why are you creating this illusion? If one insect dies, what is the loss to this universe? Similarly, if an insignificant fallen soul like me dies, what is the loss to the universe? This is the mystery of humility. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already honored Haridas Thakur as the Namacharya, the Acharya of the Yuga Dharma of this age of Kali. And yet he's considering himself less significant than an insect. Trinarapi sunichena tarori vasihishnana amani namana dena kirtaniya sadardi. It is because of this consciousness of humility of Haridas that he could constantly chant the holy name. When Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami came to Puri, they lived with Srila Haridas Thakur. And none of them would go even with an attempt to enter Jagannath's temple. Inconceivable. I know people from Western countries who disguise themselves to try to get in. But Rupa and Sanatan, they were born of Saraswat Brahmin families from Karnataka. Highest prestigious position as far as caste. They were learned scholars. They were empowered disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But they considered themselves Malechas and Yavanas. They never once attempted to go into Jagannath's temple because from the earnest feelings of their heart, they felt unqualified. They felt that they would contaminate the atmosphere if they came in. The other devotees would meet Lord Chaitanya in Gambira. Haridas Thakur, Rupa and Sanatan never even entered Gambira. They considered themselves too fallen. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally coronated in his own transcendental way Rupa Goswami to be the Acharya of our whole Sampradaya, he felt himself the lowest of the low. Srila Sanatana Goswami, we have explained in Jarikanda, he wanted to just end his life. He considered himself so abominable by throwing his body under the chariot of Jagannath. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew his heart. He said, Sanatan, why are you a thief? My Lord, can you explain? He said, it is the nature of a thief to destroy another person's property. You have already surrendered your body to me. How dare you think you have a right to destroy my property? I have many things I want to fulfill through you. So Sanatana Goswami was thinking, the Lord is not pleased with my idea to take my life. In fact, suicide is utterly forbidden in our Vaishnav Sampradaya. It is a great offense because we have no right to destroy the property of Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj explains the supreme unparalleled nature of Sanatana Goswami's humility in this particular passage from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he called Sanatana Goswami to come and join him for lunch prasad. He was at the Yamala Gardens near the ocean. So Sanatana Goswami had two ways he could go. One is by crossing the street in front of the Singhadwaram, the lion gate of Jagannath Temple. That means going through the town and getting there. The other was going along the seashore. But it was the month of April, May. And it was noontime. Scorching heat. The sand was like fire. And he never wore shoes. As he was walking along the sand, his feet became blistered. He arrived when Lord Chaitanya was taking rest after prasad, but the remnants of his Mahamaha prasad was waiting for Sanatana. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and met Sanatana, he saw his feet. They were all discolored, blistered. He said, Sanatana, what happened to you? By which way did you come? Did you come by the Singhadwaram? Sanatana said, I came by the way of the seashore. Lord Chaitanya said, no one can do that. It's impossible. That sand is like blazing coals. Look at your feet. Why didn't you come by Singhadwaram? Sanatana was silent. He didn't say a word. But in his heart, he was thinking that so many of the pujaris of Jagannath's temple is coming in and out of the Singhadwaram. If I happen to come near one or somehow accidentally touch one because I'm such an untouchable person, then they will come in and make their offerings to Jagannath in the contaminated state of touching me, and it will be a great offense. So not wanting to take the chance of contaminating others, he accepted such inhuman, excruciating pain. But actually, because Sanatana Goswami was so eager to see Lord Chaitanya, he didn't even feel the pain on his feet. That is humility. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, this Paramahamsa, highest state of transcendental realization. Of all the Vaishnavas, they selected him to be the one to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Knowing his purity, knowing his unparalleled love of God, his scholarship, his humility, they chose and empowered him. But what does he think of himself? He writes, I am suffering boils due to envy. And I'm suffering terrible disease due to my sins. In this helpless, desperate condition, I am falling at the feet of the Supreme Physician, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and begging for shelter. I am lower than the worms in stool, more fallen than Jagai and Madhai. If anyone hears my name, they lose their piety. If anyone speaks my name, they become sinful. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is not just presenting some poetry. He is revealing the inner content of his heart. He says, I am lame, I am ill-advised. I'm falling at the feet of Sri Madan Mohan for mercy. I'm crippled. I cannot move forward on this path of bhakti. It is only by the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas that I can remain. He's begging throughout Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita for the blessings of his readers. Every chapter is crest jewel of all spiritual realizations. And he concludes, Sri Rupa Raghunatha Padi, desiring the shelter of dust of the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath, I write this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Throughout his writings, he is revealing his own humble position. Narottam Das Thakur, when these great acharyas write, it's not like the songwriters of today. Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu and I were discussing this sublime subject last night. He was saying there's a song, Beauty's Only Skin Deep. That we shouldn't be attached to the external beautiful features of someone. We should actually see the actual qualities of character in people. So actually it's a nice song in that sense. But then the persons who write it, they're going out and having sex with every beautiful woman they could find. So we see, what is the use? It's a song, it's attractive, people like it, but they have no realization, they can't practice it. But when our acharyas write their prayers, they are speaking from the genuine, honest recesses of their hearts. They're not getting paid for their songs. They're not trying to sell records. They're simply expressing their love. If nobody reads it, that doesn't matter. They're simply expressing their hearts to the Lord and His devotees. Patita pavana hetu sabha avatar mosamo patita prabhu napaibayar. Narottam Das Thakur is saying, my Lord, you are Patita Pavan Avatar. You're the most merciful. You're deliverer of the most fallen. If you see and consider the entire universe, you will not find anyone more fallen than me. So please save me. This is how he is feeling. Most fallen. Thakur Bhakti Vinod. How he writes in such a state of humility. He prays to Lord Gopinath that I'm an asura, I'm a demon. But you have delivered so many demons, Krishna. That is my hope. Please save me. And Srila Prabhupada, crest jewel of humility. If we read his prayers on Jaladuta, which was the very substance of the consciousness that established this worldwide Hare Krishna movement. He's praying to Lord Krishna that I have no bhakti, I have no knowledge, but you have given me this name, Bhakti Vedanta. Now it is up to you to fulfill the real import of this name. Your most insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. I have no power to convince these people of your message. If you give me the power to speak, it is possible. Make me a puppet. Just make me a puppet, O Lord, and let me dance like a wooden puppet and dance according to your desire. My Guru Maharaj has ordered me. Prabhupada would say that was his only qualification. His spiritual master's order. Srila Prabhupada considered himself the most fallen. And therefore, as a true Vaishnav, he could completely, wholeheartedly take shelter of the unlimited mercy of Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar, Sri Gaur Nityananda. In Atlanta, Georgia, when he was singing Parama Karuna, he went into the ecstasy of weeping and crying. Parama Karuna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gora Chandra. When he was singing this verse, he went into ecstasy, crying. That Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are the supremely most merciful and kind. They come to deliver the most fallen. Therefore, they are the essence of all avatars. Srila Prabhupada explains that one who is actually humble sees all others as greater than himself. Therefore, can appreciate others' devotional service. Srila Prabhupada explained that Vaishnav culture, which is a culture of the heart, not just a culture of formalities. We address every other devotee as Prabhu. And we are Das, 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 Anudas. That is the spirit. Even if we don't feel like that, we should speak like that as an austerity. But the reason we speak like that is so that we actually gradually develop that state of consciousness. One of the symptoms of humility is one is completely non-envious. We should try to cultivate and fight against this envious nature in order to become really humble. If a person is humble, then he's happy to appreciate others' good qualities. Envy is born of false pride, the desire to be the enjoyer. We can't tolerate when someone else is taking that position better than me. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Uddhava, such a humble Vaishnava. Krishna sent him to Vrindavan because he wanted Uddhava to learn what is real bhakti from the gopis. When he went to Vrindavan and saw the gopis' ecstatic love, he realized he doesn't have even a single drop of love. Although in Dwarka he was the most intimate associate of Krishna, and everyone knew that. When he saw the love of the gopis, he was thinking, I have no love, nothing. Look at their love. Look at their condition and the separation from Krishna. Vrindavan is practically being flooded with their tears. They cannot eat, they cannot speak, they cannot move. They're simply crying out for Krishna 24 hours a day. Such love. Please listen carefully. Uddhava, seeing the love of the gopis, did not become envious of them. He did not think, I want to become a gopi. They're better than me. So I don't want this position anymore. I want to become a gopi. Did he think like that? He didn't want the position of the gopis. He was actually humble. He prayed to be a lowly creeper of grass somewhere in the dust of the ground of Brajbhumi. with the hope that someday the gopis will step on his head with their feet and he will get that dust. That was his ultimate aspiration. That was his glorification. He did not want the position of the gopis. He wanted the lowliest position of servant of the gopis. That is humility. And all of our acharyas, since the day that beautiful prayer was spoken, has quoted Uddhava, that this is bhakti. To give all glory, all credit to the great souls. To consider ourselves insignificant. To never want to take their position, but want to take the lowliest position of serving them. If you actually think someone is really great, then you want to take a lowly position to serve them. That is a Vaishnava. He was ready to reject the opulences and royalties of Dwarka to become a piece of grass in the dust of Vrindavan, to serve the gopis and get the dust of their feet. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he came to Shantipur to meet his devotees. And there he saw Sachimata. What a pathetic scene that was. Sachimata is seeing her beloved child, no longer having that beautiful, shining, blackish hair that was the essence of all opulences, cascading down his broad golden shoulders, but he had the shaved head of an ascetic. His beautiful golden robes and his jewels and his garlands that would decorate his lovely body were replaced with the drab saffron cloth of a sannyasi. Her heart was broken. Incessant tears flowing from her eyes. And Lord Chaitanya, in his humility, he fell in dandavat obeisances to his mother, again and again and again. And then with folded palms, he began to pray to his mother that I'm a crazy man. What I have done is immoral and unethical. I have made a big mistake. I had no right to take sannyas. You have given me this body. You have nourished me with this body. You have nourished me with your food, with your love, with your care and your affection. My body is your property. I had no right to do this. Now, my dear mother, I'm yours. Wherever you want me to live, whatever you want me to do, I will do. Such humility. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Varanasi, he heard about the blasphemings that Prakashananda Saraswati and his followers were inflicting upon him. They were saying such things as this: Chaitanya, we have heard about him. He's just a sentimentalist. He doesn't know the scriptures. He's not a real sannyasi. This man is bogus. We will pay no attention to him. So on the appeal of the devotees, Lord Chaitanya agreed to meet them. So they were all assembled, sitting on a high platform, because after all, holding their dandas, they were sannyasis. They would address themselves, Om Namo Narayanaya, I offer my obeisances unto you, Lord Narayan. Because this is the idea of Mayavad sannyas. When you take sannyas, when you give up the illusion of this world, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, you become Brahman. You become Narayan. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so humble, so respectful to others, he washed his feet where everyone washed their feet. And then he sat down at that place in the water of the foot wash of everyone else. and began to display his effulgence. The sannyasis, they never saw a sannyasi like this before. Not only was he effulgent like Brahman itself, but sannyasis are very eager to go sit on that high platform because they're Brahman. Here's a sannyasi taking a lower position than a brahmachari. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his humility, he didn't even take a sannyas title. He kept his brahmachari name. He should have been known as Bharati Maharaj, but he kept the name Chaitanya, which means servant of the Bharatis. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa 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 Anudas. When the sannyasi saw him sitting in this dirty place on a lower platform where they're washing their feet, they were astounded. They had never seen such humility. Prakashananda Saraswati's heart melted by seeing his humility. He said, "Your Holiness, why are you sitting in that dirty place? Are you feeling some lamentation today? Please come and sit with us." Lord Chaitanya spoke with such simplicity. He said, "I have no right to sit with all of you. You are very, very elevated sannyasis and great scholars. I'm very low class. I have no right to sit amongst such great souls." He melted their hearts. Prakashananda Saraswati came down from his raised asana and personally brought Lord Chaitanya up to sit with them with his own hands, thus performing Agyata Sukriti. Somehow the Lord tricked him to render some service, thus fertilizing his heart with this Agyata Sukriti so that the seed of bhakti could be implanted within him. And then they challenged him. "You are a disciple of the great Keshav Bharati Maharaj. You should be with us studying Vedanta. What are you doing with all these low-class sentimental women and children dancing and chanting? It's below you. It's below your integrity to be like this." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't argue with them. "Ah, you're calling me? What do you say?" No, he agreed with them. He said, "Actually, let me tell you the truth about myself. My Guru Maharaj said I was a fool. When it was time for me to study Vedanta, he said, 'You are a fool, my child. You'll never understand this Vedanta. You should just chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva.' So I started chanting Hari Nam. And then I came back to my guru and I said, 'Something's happening. I'm going mad. Tears are coming from my eyes. My hairs are standing on end. I'm trembling in my body. I don't know what's happening to me.' My guru Maharaj said, 'Oh, my dear child, this is very good. You are attaining love of Krishna. Now give this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to the world.'" Lord Chaitanya was so humble, he never officially preached the Harinam Sankirtan movement until he received the order of his spiritual master. He wanted to give the credit and the glory to his spiritual master rather than taking it for himself. And then when he explained his version of Vedanta to the Mayavadi sannyasis, their hearts were already so soft that they surrendered to him. Similarly with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, how the Lord respected him. He was also a great, great Mayavadi scholar. And his brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya, he was disgusted with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Gopinathacharya, "He's a very beautiful young boy, 24 years old, but you know, how's he going to maintain his sannyas? He's very beautiful." And besides that, he's from this Bharati Sampradaya. That's not very prestigious. I can elevate him to a higher level of sannyas. Gopinathacharya said, what nonsense garbage you're talking, Sarvabhauma. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't need you to elevate him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I know the Shastras. There's no mention of God in this age of Kali Yuga coming. Where is the evidence that he's the Supreme Lord? So he was presenting so much evidence, but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya kept arguing with him, and Gopinathacharya was becoming very angry. He said, because you have not received even one particle of a drop of the mercy of the Lord, therefore you're such a hard-hearted, dry logician that you can't even see him when he's right before your eyes. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, we're just having a discussion. Don't get so angry. So Gopinathacharya told Lord Chaitanya all this. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, don't treat him like this. He's like my father. He wants to care for me. He wants to protect me. I accept him as such. You should all honor him in this way. Here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate Vaidaischa Sarveraham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krid Veda Vedeva Chaham, the goal of Vedanta. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya approaches him and says, my child, Swamiji, I think that you won't survive as a sannyasi unless I teach you Vedanta. Because it's Kali Yuga and they're very young and beautiful and so many Matajis will come and... I'm not speaking word for word, but this is the spirit. So Lord Chaitanya was so humble. He said, yes, you are like my father. You are my teacher. Please instruct me in Vedanta. He offered him all respect. And then he was so respectful that he sat for days and days in Jagannath Temple hearing his discussion of Vedanta. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, why have you not asked any questions in all these days? He said, do you have a better idea of Vedanta? He said, yes. But he said it with such respect, like a son to a father. He said, Vedanta Sutra, it is as brilliant and as clear as the sun at noon. And your interpretations are like a big dark cloud that completely obscures the real light of the sun, of the meaning of Vedanta. Huh? Well, you tell me what your meaning is. He explained it and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya surrendered. Amanina Manadena. How he respected this person. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respected every living entity. This was the cause of pain for some of the Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya, to his guru's godbrothers, would offer all respects and services. We find whenever there was prasad taking, he would always sit on the same level and take with Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya, because they were all his guru's godbrothers. He would serve them. He would honor them. He would respect them. He would respect every living being. Even the most fallen Shudras, he would respectfully give them Krishna consciousness. Because a devotee who's actually humble doesn't think himself better than anyone. This is actual preaching. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, anybody that came before him to give him honor and respect, he would address them with folded hands, Dasosmi, I am your servant. And he actually believed that. Even he was Singha Guru, annihilating the misconceptions of Mayavadis and the Sahajas and the caste Goswamis. They were afraid to stand before him like jackals running when the lion roars. That was his power. But his actual spirit was the servant of every living entity. That's how he was serving the spirit soul within their hearts. There was never pride. There was never, I'm better than you. There was simply a spirit of servitude. Srila Prabhupada. There's a beautiful lecture where he reveals his heart. He told us that whatever credit goes to my spiritual master. And then he actually revealed how he sees his disciples. He said, you are all the representatives of my Guru Maharaj. What does that mean? That is so esoteric. Because we're taught throughout our philosophy that you must serve the Lord through his representative. Similarly, you must serve the spiritual master through the representative. Prabhupada established a system within ISKCON that there's GBCs, there's temple presidents, there's regional secretaries, and only a few people like Tejas Prabhu or Yadubar Prabhu or Dhananjay Prabhu or Bhakti Charu Maharaj, few people were directly personally serving Prabhupada. For all the rest of the movement, Srila Prabhupada said, I will accept your service through my representatives. Yes? Actually, thousands of people would be knocking on Prabhupada's door, waiting to massage his feet. But no one was there. Because we understood Prabhupada's plan. We just serve our president, we serve our authority, and that's the way we can please Prabhupada. And that's the way the whole movement existed in his presence. Prabhupada saw every one of his disciples as representatives of his Guru Maharaj. That means he's thinking, servant of the servant. By serving his disciples, his Guru Maharaj will be pleased. That is the respect that he had. And some of the close associates of Prabhupada, they would be very embarrassed when he would call them Prabhu. Because he felt that. That is Mahabhagavat. That is advanced Vaishnava. Amani namanadena, to offer all respect to others. That is humility. To appreciate the good in others without envy. To look for and see the good in others. Srila Prabhupada explained, preaching means to see the spark of inclination to serve Krishna in a person's heart, to look for that, to search it, to see it, and to sacrifice your life to fan that spark and make it grow. Another natural quality of humility is to give all credit to others, even for that apparently we have done ourselves. This is very, very difficult. How many of us sometime in your life wanted to take credit for something you really didn't even do? Actually, prakrite kriyamana niguna karmani sarvasha. Krishna is the controller of all material and spiritual energies. We cannot exist without his mercy. A devotee doesn't want to be the doer. Prabhupada prayed, let me be a puppet in your hands. Do you ever see a puppet saying, I'm such a great puppet? If you go to a puppet show, how many people give credit to the puppets? Maybe ignorant little children. They say, oh, that puppet is a very glorious person. But an adult knows that it's the puppeteer that's making the puppet talk and walk. Whatever the puppet has done is only by the glory of the puppeteer. Yes? Prabhupada said, let me be your puppet. He didn't say, let me be your acharya. I'll be an acharya as your puppet, if that's what you want. But his identity is puppet. That means all credit to Krishna, all credit to Guru. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited this to the superbly beautiful extent. When he was living in Jagannath Puri,
Sripad Ballabha Bhattacharya came to meet him.
Lord Chaitanya had already met Ballabha Bhatt in Prayag during Kumbh Mela or Magh Mela time. And he knew he was a very, very wonderful devotee and a very great scholar. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach what is the humility of a Vaishnava. Please listen carefully. Your lives will never be the same if you just understand this example that Lord Chaitanya has given in this pastime. When Ballabha Bhattacharya came, he began to praise Lord Chaitanya. He was saying such things as, anyone who could spread the holy name of the Lord throughout the world, he is incarnation of Krishna. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. You are empowered by the mercy of Krishna because you are spreading the Sankirtan movement. And Lord Chaitanya didn't say, yes, you have understood. Lord Chaitanya said, please meet my devotees. Whatever I have, whatever I am, is only by their mercy. He gave all credit for every aspect of his nature to his devotees. He said, this is Advaita Acharya. He is the greatest scholar of the Vedas. He is a true Brahman on the path of devotional service. Whatever knowledge of Krishna I have, whatever devotion I have, it is only due to what I have received from Sri Advaitacharya. And Nityananda Prabhu, he is avadut. He has such glorious taste for Krishna consciousness, such a merciful, compassionate spirit to preach. Whatever compassion I have, whatever kindness I have to others, it is what I have learned from Nityananda Prabhu. And this is Sri Ramananda Rai. He is supremely expert at all rasas. He has understood and realized the essence of the esoteric loving mellows of Vrindavan Dham. And he has taught me these things. Whatever I know, whatever I understand about the rasas of love of Sri Vrindavan is only due to the mercy of what I have learned from Ramananda Rai. And this is Swarup Damodar Goswami. He has the deepest, innermost understandings of the confidential nature of Vrindavan and the love of Vrindavan. My understanding of Vrindavan, my understanding of surrender to Krishna, following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, whatever I have is only by the mercy of what I have learned from seeing the behavior of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And he continued, this is Srila Haridas Thakur. He will not even eat or drink until he finishes chanting 300,000 names of Krishna every day. He's the Namacharya. He's the foremost proponent of the Yuga Dharma. Whatever I have understood about the glories of the holy name is only by the mercy of Srila Haridas Thakur. And he went to each of his devotees explaining what he has learned for them and what he is because of them. This is Acharya Ratna. This is Pundarik Vidyanidhi. This is Gadadhar Pandit. It is from them that I have learned all the various aspects of devotional service. It is said that Ballabha Bhatta considered himself like a duck in an assembly of swans. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ecstatically glorifying the qualities of each and every one of his devotees. And whatever he was, whatever he had, and whatever he was giving to the world, he gave 100% of all credit to his devotees, to others. This is Vaishnava. The Lord Himself doesn't take credit. Even Krishna. Krishna said, the only reason that I have power to give mercy to others and deliver them from material existence is because I worship my devotees. Because I worship my devotees and they have blessed me, therefore I have the power to deliver anyone. This is the transcendental state of consciousness. But yet material conditioning is exactly the opposite. We want to take credit. We want to broadcast what we have done. Not Das Goswami. No one has ever seen such renunciation. But yet he kept it all secret. If the Lord didn't personally reveal it, no one would ever know. He was secretly, in the middle of the night, going to that place near Singhadwaram, where all the refuse of the spoiled, rotten prasad of Jagannath was thrown. Kaviraj Goswami describes, after the food is offered to Jagannath, it becomes prasad. And much of it is sold in the different stalls. And people who don't buy, some of the prasad becomes rotten. It starts decomposing. So they throw it in the pile so the cows of the Talinga province will eat it. So the cows all day would just be munching on that rice prasad. And sometimes the prasad was so rotten that they would spit it out. And at night, that's all that was left. Raghunath Das Goswami would secretly go and collect that rice, wash it off, and take the inner portion of it. Nobody knew. He wasn't advertising how detached, how renounced he was. Sometimes devotees like to show how I'm very austere, how I'm fasting. But Raghunath Das, he didn't want any credit. He was thinking himself so lowly, he was thinking himself so fallen, that this is the food he deserves. He didn't even deserve that. That was his state of consciousness. Such humility. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, somehow or other, he heard about what Raghunath Das was eating. And he went to his bhajan kutir one day. Right at the time Raghunath was eating that old decomposed cow remnants. And he said, oh, Raghunath, I heard you're eating very sumptuous opulent prasad. Please give some to me. Raghunath hid it away. He said, no, my lord, I don't know who told you like this. He said, give me, give me. He said, no, there isn't any. And Lord, he knows everything, past, present, and future. He knew where the prasad was. He grabbed it and ate it. Raghunath was saying, please, Swarup Damodara Goswami, after he took one portion, he just couldn't tolerate seeing Lord Chaitanya eating. He said, that's enough, that's enough. Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. He said, I have tasted the most sumptuous cakes and sweets and sabjis and rice preparations of Jagannath, but I have never tasted anything so sweet as the food that Raghunath Das Goswami is eating. What was he tasting? His renunciation. But what is the essence of renunciation? Humility. Ultimately, real renunciation means Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Ivasahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. If we give up all of our wealth, if we give up all of our eating and sleeping, if we're proud, what have we really renounced? Whether we're living in a palace or living under a tree, if we're humble, then we're truly renounced. The renunciation of false pride, the renunciation of the desire for honor and prestige, that is the true renunciation. That means everything is for Krishna. The wealth of the world is for Krishna. All honor, respect, and glory is for Krishna. And we will give it to Krishna. How? Through Guru, through the Vaishnavas. Let them have all honor and all glory, because that way Krishna will accept it. But nothing for me. That is humility.
to give all credit to others. Kaviraj Goswami,
he took absolutely no credit for Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He gave all credit to Lord Nityananda Prabhu who sent him to Vrindavan. He says, I'm not even writing this. By some mystical miracle, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is moving this hand and making these words come out. How could I write? I'm old, I'm invalid, I'm about to die. I'm suffering so many invalidities. I cannot write this. It is a great miracle. It is astonishing how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is writing through me. He gives all credit to the Lord, to Rupa and Sanatan, and to all the Vaishnavas, and takes no credit himself. Srila Prabhupada, he didn't accept any credit for himself. The only qualification I had is I am simply repeating the words of my spiritual master. So many other people were repeating the words of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. There were thousands of people repeating the words of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. It was Srila Prabhupada, by his sacrifice, by his compassion, by his love, that such an old age he sailed across the world with nothing except faith in Guru Maharaj's mercy. But yet he took no credit. My only qualification is I'm simply repeating the words of my spiritual master. And something that would sometimes simultaneously give us joy and pain is when Prabhupada would tell us that all credit goes to his disciples. These young American boys and girls, he would sometimes say, they've gave up their beautiful homes, they gave up their wealth to travel to various places in the world, poverty conditions, risking their lives. He gave all credit to his disciples for what they did in spreading Krishna consciousness. But what were the disciples doing? Just trying to follow in the footsteps of what they saw he was doing. He was giving them all power. He was giving them all inspiration. He was giving everything. But he gave credit to the disciples and to his guru. He gave credit to everyone except himself. That is humility. When a devotee is in a humble state of mind, that devotee could bear all sorts of injustices upon himself without complaining and without blaming others. This is a very, very important principle. And there are so many wonderful examples. Srimad Bhagavatam describes Prahlad Maharaj. How his father, Hiranyakashipu, tried to kill him in so many ways, through fire, through snakes, through poison, through drowning, through winds, through crushing under mountains, swords and spears, elephants. But he never criticized his father. He never blamed his father. He was humble. He just accepted it as the Lord's mercy and continued chanting the holy names. When Haridas Thakur was beaten in those 22 marketplaces, he didn't blame. He was only praying for the deliverance of the people who hated him and were trying to kill him. Forgiveness. When you're humble, you forgive people who create injustices to you. There's no envy. There's no vengeance. I deserve worse. That's humility. That's what purchases Krishna. Not this vengeful, I will get back at you. You have done injustice to me. That is not a way a Vaishnav thinks. You may get back. You may get your fame and glory back in this world, but you'll never get Krishna. Ambarish Maharaj, he didn't do anything wrong. When Durvas Muni came, he was fasting for the welfare of the citizens. He took a little charanamrit, which, according to the shastras, that's both breaking fast and not breaking fast. And Durvas Muni, for that slight detail, he wanted to murder him. He created a monster to kill him. And Ambarish Maharaj just stood with folded palms. Krishna, if you want me to die, I'm ready. Durvas Muni is not my enemy. You are appearing before me in his form, whatever you want to do. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed in this way. My Lord, if you want to kill me or if you like to protect me, I'm your servant. You can do anything with me. Durvas Muni was running away from the Sudarshan Chakra for one full year, and Ambarish Maharaj, so respectful, he remained fasting that whole year because he wouldn't eat until he served his guest. And when Durvas Muni came and fell at his feet and begged forgiveness, Ambarish Maharaj was embarrassed. He said, "You have made no offense to me. I'm your servant. Please have prasad." Srivas Thakur, when Gopal Chapala tried to destroy his reputation by putting tantric puja of flesh and wine and everything in front of his house for the worshipping of Chandi Devi, he wanted to destroy the reputation of Srivas. Srivas came out in the morning and saw it and called the townspeople together and said, "I want you all to see what I'm doing in secret." He didn't try to defend himself. He accepted the suffering as the mercy of God. Maharaj Chitraketu. When Maharaj Chitraketu was condemned and cursed to become a demon by Parvati, and he didn't even do anything wrong. He was actually showing his affection for Lord Shiva, but she misunderstood him. And she cursed him to die and become a demon. And he just offered his humble obeisances and said, "Mataji, thank you. Actually, my honest heart, I only wanted to praise your husband, but maybe I didn't say it right. But now you have cursed me. That's very good. I accept this as your blessing. Now, with your permission, I will go and become a demon." He didn't fight against her. He didn't debate against her. He didn't counter curse her. He was a Vaishnav. Maharaj Yudhisthira. What an example. He was cheated. They tried to murder him. They took away his rightful kingdom for 12 years, banished him to the forest to live like beggars. And after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Yudhisthira Maharaj was feeling great lamentation. He was thinking, all these great souls have died. And all these women are crying because they're widows. And it's all my fault. All because of my passion to be king, they all died. Such injustices to him. And Dhritarashtra was the cause of all the injustices. He was behind Duryodhana at every step. And Yudhisthira Maharaj served Dhritarashtra with such faith and devotion and love and respect, and considered all sorrows of others to be his fault. Endured sufferings in a humble spirit. Nityananda Prabhu crashed on his skull with the hard pot of Jagayan Madhai. But when Lord Chaitanya came to kill them, he prayed, "My Lord, it didn't hurt. They didn't mean any harm. Please give them your mercy. Please forgive them." Sanatan Goswami, when he wanted to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Nawab Hussein Shah put him in a dirty, filthy prison with a ball and chain around his body. He didn't complain. He didn't criticize the Nawab. He just accepted it as the Lord's mercy and continued faithfully chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram,
How many injustices came upon Prabhupada in his preaching of Hare Krishna movement all over the world? But yet, never complained. Always eager to just keep moving forward as the well-wisher, the sincere, loving well-wisher of even those who criticized him and abandoned him. That is the substance of this society. The forgiveness, the compassion, and the humility of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, in this age of Kali Yuga, the only way one can curb one's mind is by chanting the holy names with humility. Ultimately, there's no other way. Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita how difficult the mind is to control. Arjuna says, more difficult to control than the raging wind. We all know every living being in this material world knows how powerful the mind is. When lust and anger and greed and pride and illusion, when they seat themselves within the mind becomes like an uncontrolled animal. Bhagavatam says, just like a hunter has to keep constant surveillance over a wild man-eating animal, similarly, we have to keep guard over the mind, otherwise the mind will devour us, will destroy us. Why people fall down? Why people leave devotional service? Why people remain in the material world? It is all due to the uncontrolled mind being victimized by the senses. Krishna's Rishikesh. He's the master of the mind and the senses. The only possibility of controlling this mind is to take shelter of Krishna. When he takes it upon himself to help us, then we can be delivered from this mind. On our own, it's not possible. Even the great Vishwamitra Muni, most powerful yogi of the history, what he could do, what powers he had. But he could not control his mind and senses until he surrendered to the Lord, took shelter of the Lord. This is the difference between the path of bhakti and all others. It is not an ascending process. We are not trying to conquer Maya by our own intelligence, by our own charitable activities, or by our own austerities or prowess. We are simply appealing to the Lord to save us. That is our only hope. That is our only salvation. Kali Kale Namurupe Krishna Avatar. In this age of Kali, Krishna has descended in his name. Harinama Harinama Harinam Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way except the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Nam Namakari Bahudani Jasarava Shaktis. All your power and glory is within your name, my Lord. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. My dear Lord, you are none different from your name, your opulences, your pastimes, your form. It is all manifested through your name. But how to chant the holy names? How to take shelter of the holy names? That is the most important subject matter, because it is our only means of salvation. It is the only means of entering into the kingdom of God. Srila Prabhupada explains that the mind is tormenting us and keeping us distant from Krishna since time immemorial. It is an unconquerable demon. But Krishna has conquered so many demons, and he's come in his name. Thus, Srila Prabhupada says, the only means of controlling the mind, essentially, is with sincere humility to cry out the holy names of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Please forgive if I spoke too much, but I'm a rascal. We'd like to welcome His Grace, Sriman Bhima Prabhu. Bhima Prabhu is one of the real, faithful soldiers of Srila Prabhupada. He has 100% given his life, his soul, his everything in the service of Prabhupada. He is one of the most highly respected devotees within our society. Very exemplary grihastha. On Prabhupada's behalf, over the years, he's been willing to accept so many inconceivable challenges and faithfully serve the devotees. He's really one of the pillars of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And his service in Bombay, Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple, has been, it's beyond my words to explain. He's done so much for all of us. He's a person who deeply dives into Prabhupada's teachings and his books as his exclusive source of spiritual strength. Excellent sadhana, humble nature. He's just totally sold out to our Guru Maharaj, and therefore we all are eternally indebted to him. Let us very enthusiastically and graciously welcome Bhima Prabhu. Thank you very much.